Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. We're going to focus this morning just in the opening verses. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Later in this chapter, Jesus is going to continue healing people in miraculous ways. And then later after that, we will see the calling of another unlikely disciple. But the calling of the first disciples is in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is God's word. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the peoples crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is traveling, teaching, working miracles. He's already becoming a celebrity. People are fascinated. They're amazed. Not only are there people who are grateful that they were healed or that someone they loved was healed, but there are people who are just amazed to watch what's going on. Jesus is working miracles, and he's teaching them, and they're amazed at his teaching because he speaks with authority. But one day, the crowd was so great and pressing in on Jesus that he decided to get into a boat and be pushed out a little from shore so that he could speak to the crowd there on the shore, but have a little bit of space for himself. It made it possible for him to reach more people if he had a little bit of space between himself and the crowd. It's an interesting dynamic and one that we should not overlook. Jesus sits down in the boat and taught the people from there. And when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Go on out where it's deeper and let down your nets." Now, when Jesus came there, they were cleaning their nets. These were commercial fishermen. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They made a living doing this, and after they had fished all night and caught nothing, and then cleaned their nets, the idea of going back out and trying some more, lowering the nets down after they've cleaned them, putting the nets back in the water and all that, that just didn't seem like a good plan. But Simon says, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Let me just tell you something. Jesus will often tell us to do things that don't make a lot of sense to us. It's like, this is not what I want. This goes against my thinking, my desire. I've just finished with the nets. Now you want to borrow my boat. I'm okay with that. You were preaching from it and you said wonderful stuff and that's all great. But now you're trying to get into my business, okay? I mean, I know this water. I know this lake. I grew up here. I'm a professional. I'm a fisherman. Okay, this is what I do for a living. You're what? What would you say? A carpenter? Is that what it was? Okay, I'm sorry. You're not from right here. You don't know this lake like I do. You don't know what it takes. We've already cleaned our nets. We were fishing all night. We caught nothing. This is just not the time for it. And now you're trying to tell me you don't want to just sit in my boat. You want to tell me how to run my fishing operation. Okay, because it's you, I'll do it. He did protest. I mean, he said, this doesn't make sense. I don't want to, but I'll do it anyway. Good decision. If you don't think that Jesus is going to get into your business, if you don't think that whatever you think is your expertise, God has a right to come along and say, I want you to do it like this. But why? It doesn't make sense. I'm tired and I don't feel like it. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Always a good decision to obey Jesus. So, when they had done so, they started to catch fish. And not just a little. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They literally did not have the gear to handle the blessing that Jesus was pouring out. It was more than they could receive. You remember Malachi talking about financial stewardship. And he says, God tells his people to honor him in this, and God will pour out a blessing so great that you can't receive it. It's going to be more than you can handle. Jesus said that the blessing would be pressed down, shaken together, full, and running over. God knows how to bless us beyond our capacity. I did not see this coming. I thought I was doing something for him. I thought that, you know, I'm making a sacrifice. I'm going to do what he said. Okay, I'll do it. Doesn't make sense, but I'll do it because he said so. And then the blessing comes in and we're just overwhelmed. Absolutely overwhelmed. Let me tell you, that's the story of my life. As I have obeyed God, and I haven't always obeyed God perfectly, not pretending, but as I have obeyed God, the blessings have been more than I could imagine, greater than I could anticipate, more than I can handle. It overflows, and we're in a position to bless others.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat. That would be James and John. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This is getting kind of comical. I mean, the point of the boat is to stay up. This was not supposed to be a swimming expedition. They were going out there in the boats, and you want to put the fish in the boats and then take them to shore. And they had to stop. The blessing not only wouldn't fit in their nets, they couldn't take any more in the boats. They were in danger of capsizing because the boats were getting so full of fish. Now, when Simon realized the extent of this miracle, he said, "This is great. Jesus, we would like to make you a partner in our commercial fishing business." Is that what he said? No, he was terrified because he realized, I'm dealing with the Lord. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." In the book of Acts, Peter received a vision of a sheet covered with all kinds of animals that had been forbidden as food in the Old Testament. And now Peter, in the New Covenant, sees a sheet let down from heaven with all those unclean animals on it. And the Lord says to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "No, Lord, I have never eaten any unclean animals. That is an area of my life where I have been obedient to your word." And the Lord said, "Don't call unclean what I've called clean." Well, I mean, was that the first announcement of the fact that we can eat foods that were forbidden in the Old Testament? No. Jesus actually had already said that in his teaching. But it was very hard for these Jewish guys to get it. And Peter is going to forget that later on and have to be rebuked publicly by the Apostle Paul. Galatians, you can read about it. Because it just goes against the grain when you've tried very hard to follow the rules all your life. Why would he say, if he's never eaten forbidden food, why would he say, "I am a sinful man"? Let me tell you something. I tend to be, by nature, a rules keeper. And it is something from early childhood that I am risk averse by nature. Doesn't mean I haven't taken some huge risks in my life, but when I did so, it was not because I'm just that kind of a guy. Sure, I'm sure it'll be okay. No, I'm the opposite. And when it comes to things that God says, I want to be careful to obey. But the most meticulous rules keeper, if he's honest, will always know in his heart of hearts, I've messed up. These people might look and see somebody who's doing the right thing, but I know before God, I'm a sinful man. Peter said what everybody says when they get close to God. Abraham, Job, David, Isaiah, over and over and over and over, when we glimpse the holiness of God, we want to respond the way that Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6. Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When Peter saw that miraculous catch of fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." If you have never come to the point of recognizing your own sin, you need to get closer to God. Because as you draw near to Him, you will become keenly aware that He is holy, and in yourself, you're not. He and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. So Jesus said to Simon, "You're right. You're wretched. You're sinful. I just wanted you to know that. Now, take me back to shore and don't ever bother me again." Is that what Jesus said? Not at all. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." Matthew and Mark also tell this story. And when they tell it, it has some of the same details and not some of the same details. No contradiction, simply a different perspective as the story is being shared. There Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men." Well, when they pulled their boat up on the shore, they left everything and followed him. So again, the accounts of Matthew and Mark and Luke all fit together very, very nicely because it's history. It's the truth of what happened. But what does that have to do with us? These guys had just caught more fish than they'd ever caught before. They caught so many fish that they couldn't contain the blessing. But they didn't say, "We're going to go get a bigger boat. We're now going to be the most successful commercial fishermen on the Sea of Galilee." Instead, they left it all behind. Do you know what separates a true fisherman from a non-fisherman? The number one characteristic of a fisherman is that a fisherman wants to catch fish. But let me tell you something. A fisherman wants to catch fish, but sometimes you try, and like Peter in the first part of this passage, you don't catch anything. Not anything. It's not just, "Well, we didn't get very much." There are times when you go out and it just, everything goes wrong. You don't get anything. But a fisherman wants to catch fish. Now, why am I belaboring that point? Because Jesus says to those who follow him, "I'm going to make you fishers of men. From now on, you will catch men." And yet there are tons of people who claim to be following Jesus and have never led anyone to the Lord. And the number one reason why? Is they've never tried. They've never gone fishing. It's never been that important to them. They're going to heaven. That's what counts. Those folks are going to hell. Does that not trouble you? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, yeah, but that was Jesus. And I mean, these were his apostles. And I mean, you're a preacher. So, you know, of course, somebody is going to be an evangelist. But that's just one of the gifts. I think my gift is different. Oh, I don't doubt that. Not everybody is called to be a preacher, thank God. But I will tell you this. All of us are called to be his witnesses. You don't have to make a speech. You don't have to preach a sermon. You don't have to write a book. You don't need to have a pulpit. But if you're not wanting to reach people for Christ, highly unlikely that you will. The number one characteristic of a fisherman is that a fisherman wants to catch fish. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishermen of men. Fishers of people. Someone who wants to see people come to Christ. You say, well, I'm not a good speaker. You don't have to be a good speaker. How's your prayer life? Do you have some people that you're praying to see converted? There are people I pray for every single day that they will get saved. I've done as much as I can to share the gospel with them. I'm not calling them on the phone. Hey, have you prayed to receive Christ yet? But I've shared the gospel, and I'm praying, and praying, and praying, and praying, and praying, and praying, because God's the only one who can change a heart. We don't save anybody. God does. But don't you want to join with him in what he is doing around the world and say, yes, I want to be a part of that? Start with prayer. Start now and say, God, give me a heart for people like yours. You loved me when I was your enemy. Help me to love my enemies. Help me to pray for people who are lost and to quit holding on to stuff that's just going to sink my boat. When they got back to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Well, what about all those fish? What about the boats? What about the nets? What about their business? What about their family? Nothing is worth holding back from God. They left everything and followed him. Well, I don't think fishing for fish is sinful. Of course it's not. These guys were not running a drug and prostitution ring, and Jesus said, you need to leave that and follow me. These guys were doing something totally legit. Well, are you saying we can't have secular employment? No, I'm saying don't let anything hold you back from yielding all to Jesus. When you come to the point of saying, all right, Lord, I will follow you. I no longer declare anything in my life off limits to you. You can have this, you can have this, but you can't have that. No, it's all yours, Lord. You do what he tells you. And when you live that way, he will cause you to live in such a way that other people, not everybody. Some people will mock you. Some people will despise you. Some people may persecute you. But some people will say, why are you different? What is it about you? I know this is going on and this happened to you. And in the midst of it, you seemed joyful. Why? Jesus is making you a fisher of men. Folks, you don't have to be phony to win people for Jesus. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. Be honest. Be truthful. And pray that God will use your life by whatever means to reach people who need to know him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.